You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Communities across BC have been organizing for several years to fight the proposed Enbridge Gateway pipeline. It would bring tar sands oil from Alberta to a tanker port at Kitimat, BC, for international export. Communities have opposed the pipeline for many reasons, including the local environmental and economic impacts of potential leaks along the pipeline route and oil spills on the coast. The movement to stop the pipeline has seen several victories in recent months, including a parliamentary legislation on the table to ban oil tanker traffic on the BC North Coast. Eric Swanson is the No Tankers Director of Dogwood Initiative, and he joins me by phone from Victoria. Hello, Eric.
Good morning.
There has been a groundswell of community opposition to the Enbridge pipeline over the past half year or so. What have communities been doing to voice their opposition?
Yeah, well, importantly, it's good to understand that this has been a fight that's gone back, it's going back nearly 40 years now in British Columbia, all the way back to the early 70s. Well, in this province, we have a long-standing history of standing up and shutting down proposals to bring oil pipelines and tankers through northern BC. The last year has been incredible, as you mentioned, with communities along the pipeline and tanker route, First Nation and non-native communities, coming together, joining with a broad-based, diverse movement across BC to voice their opposition. We've seen, beginning in early 2010, coastal First Nations, all nine coastal First Nations of the central and north coast of BC, issued a legal declaration using their own traditional laws against the prospect of oil tanker traffic through their territorial waters. In early December, over 60 First Nations from the Fraser watershed and beyond issued a similar legal declaration banning tar sands pipelines through their territories, and they made mention of tankers going through salmon feeding grounds out in the ocean as well. And First Nation communities are joined by local governments across BC in late September, the Union of BC Municipalities passed two resolutions, one specifically calling on the federal government to enact the legislation you mentioned, and another specifically opposing the pipeline itself. And on top of that, we've got unions, commercial fishing, the United Fishermen and Allied Workers Union, has expressed strong opposition to this project and tankers. Coastal tourism, the Wilderness Tourism Association, has as well. Coastal Chambers of Commerce, the Central Coast Chamber of Commerce, Tofino, Long Beach Chamber of Commerce. This is really an amazing and a massive groundswell of opposition that I don't think Enbridge is going to have an easy time finding its way out of.
Well, let's look at the other side of the issue. Enbridge, are there any signs from Enbridge that their plans are going ahead as expected?
In fact, before the year was out, a report was released which articulated that, unlike virtually all other pipelines in the history of the current regulatory system in Canada, Enbridge has been able to advance to a stage of the regulatory process in the absolute absence of firm commercial support for the project. Enbridge doesn't have any companies signing contracts to put oil into their proposed pipeline or to take oil out of it and refine it into something. So in fact, Enbridge doesn't even have a project at this point because they don't have any companies willing to actually support it. The only reason they're at the stage they are is because they've received $100 million confidentially from 10 undisclosed oil companies in Alberta and in Asia who are interested in the idea of sending oil from the tar sands to Asia but aren't necessarily committed to actually signing contracts. So Enbridge is certainly committed to going as far as they can with this, but at this point they lack commercial support. They obviously lack public support. In addition to all the opposition I outlined, polling shows 80% of British Columbians oppose oil tankers on the coast. But Enbridge is committed. They're spending money, they're hiring new community liaisons and officials, they're traveling the pipeline route and offering a 10% equity stake in the project to First Nations, to which, you know, some have roundly denounced that already. But Enbridge is in the game for keeps, and we suspect them to try everything they can to make it happen.
Now, what does this mean for the opposition movement? The fact that there are no oil companies have signed agreements with Enbridge hitherto or so far, what does that mean for the movement that is working to stop the pipeline?
It means that we're all being taken for a ride a little bit in terms of the energy we're expending, the time we're spending waging this fight and this struggle, because Enbridge really shouldn't be able to advance to this stage of a regulatory process without that firm commercial support. Enbridge is basically using a public regulatory process, public time. They're triggering the expense of time and energy at the First Nation level, at the local government level, and at the movement level, responding to something that doesn't commercially exist yet. So we've started calling for the regulatory process that Enbridge has triggered to be dissolved entirely until Enbridge actually proves they have companies willing to support their project. So for the movement, this articulation of a lack of commercial support means that there's a new angle. There's a new angle in the campaign by which we, I believe, should start asking for the process to be dissolved.
Let's talk about what's happening at the parliamentary level. In December, I understand there was a parliamentary motion on an oil tanker ban for British Columbia's northern coasts. What happened there exactly, and what is the significance of this motion?
There's been a lot of momentum on the federal level. I mean, a lot of people in the movement, both along the pipeline route and the tanker route, recognize that, you know, this fight's been going on for 40 years, and it'd be good to actually reach permanent conclusion. And the permanent conclusion that we see as being most effective is new federal law that would ban oil tankers once and for all from ever plying the north coast of BC, so Hackett Strait, Dixon Entrance, Queen Charlotte Sound, which would also block any pipelines across northern BC that would terminate at Kitimat or Prince Rupert or any other port location. Fortunately, this year, 2010, has seen a lot of progress on that new federal law. We had the Liberal Party of Canada under its new leader, Michael Ignatieff, commit to the idea. The NDP had already expressed support for the idea. And all this momentum and this energy culminated in November and December when there was a motion, a House of Commons motion proposed in the House of Commons in Ottawa, where we saw for the first time ever all three opposition parties of Canada representing a majority of Parliament support the idea in concept for a legislated tanker ban. And this is the first time British Columbians were able to see their Conservative MPs actually physically standing up and voting for oil pipelines and tankers. So in the past, the Conservatives' position had been, if not unclear to us, it was certainly unclear to the majority of the public. But now there's no place left for these particular politicians to hide as far as this issue is concerned. So that was the significance of the motion, and immediately after that, we had a new actual bill introduced by a Vancouver Liberal MP, Joyce Murray, which basically introduces the law as we would write it ourselves. It's a great piece of written legislation, and we're hoping in 2011 we can see some significant movement on that bill through the processes of Ottawa.
What would that legislation, the one that is tabled by the Vancouver Liberal MP, what would that legislation do?
It would ban all bulk crude oil supertanker traffic through Hackett Strait, Dixon Entrance, and Queen Charlotte Sound. So that's everything north of Vancouver Island, south of Alaska, and east of Haida Gwaii, so the big swath of BC's north and central coast. And by supertankers, crude oil supertankers in bulk, that means what you'd imagine, Exxon Valdez-sized big ships, which are specifically designed to carry oil in bulk, you know, cargo containments that are built into the actual structure of the ship. So the law would not ban, for example, barges being towed by, you know, tugboats with, you know, fuel trucks delivering diesel to coastal communities and that kind of thing. It wouldn't ban those smaller vessels with, undergoing or transporting fuel up and down the coast. It would simply ban the big supertankers that are proposed to export oil from Canada and that kind of thing.
And when will that legislation be voted on?
There's the chances for this type of bill, it's called the private members bill, and in this case it's an opposition private members bill, so the government stands in the way, the current conservative government stands in the way. So the historical chances of these things being successful are fairly low. Now, we're optimistic that given the intense politics of the issue and the hard political consequences for the conservatives if they block it, we feel that we have a decent chance of it being successful. What it has to do is go through three votes. It goes through a first vote sometime, hopefully early 2011, then it goes to a committee, and it goes back for another vote, then it goes back to another round of committees, then it goes back to a third vote in the House of Commons, and if it passes that, it goes to the Senate, where it undergoes a similar process. And then if it makes it through the Senate, then it hits the Prime Minister's desk, and the Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, either sends it on to the Governor General for assent, or he doesn't. So there's kind of three categories of steps that need to happen for it to become law. But in any case, the movement of the bill will continue to paint the clear political picture for voters in BC of where the different parties stand. And we feel that's even more important at this point.
Well, the fight sounds like it's still ongoing. In your view, what should the movement against the pipeline focus on strategically?
Well, there's three angles to the campaign that have been and need to continue to work in synergy. There's the political angle of the campaign, which focuses on the permanent solution of a legislated tanker ban. We're going to need to be mobilizing in key political ridings in BC, especially now where the Conservatives have something to lose. Ridings like Vancouver Island North, John Duncan didn't win by much, and he's on the wrong side of this issue. North Vancouver, Andrew Saxton, also on the wrong side of this issue, and could fall if he doesn't come on side with the majority of British Columbians. Ridings like that, where the Conservatives can be set up to actually fail should they not jump on board with the majority of British Columbians and standing up for the coast. That's one, the one thread. The second thread is the process piece. We think we need to dissolve the actual regulatory process now that Enbridge doesn't even have commercial support. Part of the movement is going to have to take that on and start putting some pressure on the regulator. The third angle is in First Nation communities and non-First Nation communities. We need to just continue to do the baseline community organizing, education and awareness, and drawing people together so that the movement itself kind of builds. A huge part of this is the efforts of First Nations to assert their own traditional laws, against decades and centuries of oppression. And we feel very optimistic that that kind of action by First Nations will go beyond this campaign against tankers, and the assertion of those laws hopefully will set up a situation in BC where our interaction with the environment, our interaction with each other will become more sustainable over the long term.
And there's also a petition that people can sign if they want to show their opposition.
That's the first step for a lot of people who haven't done anything or haven't been made aware of this campaign yet, is to go to www.notankers.ca and sign the online petition for a legislated ban on oil tankers.
All right, Eric, thanks so much for joining us this Saturday and talking with us about the two
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks a
fights.
Lot.
Okay, we've been speaking with Eric Swanson. He is the No Tankers Director at the Victoria-based Dogwood Initiative. If you would like more information on the campaign or to sign the petition to keep oil tankers off the North BC coast, you can visit notankers.ca.